Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Boy, howdy, are you going to have some fun. Those of you who've already been listening, tell them about it. Tell them how much fun we have around here. Robert Levin is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a good friend of ours. He's a publisher of the New York Enterprise Report, which is a fairly new magazine. I think maybe less than 2 years old, as I remember. And I'm a happy subscriber of his magazine. It's a very good one. It's focused on businesses in the tri-state area, in the New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey area. And he's our friend. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. And now remind me, is it 2 years old? Is it less than 2 years old?
We started on the web a little bit over 2 years ago and in print almost a year and a half ago.
That's when I first found out about you, when you were on the web and went to print about a year and a half ago. And one of the things we've been doing, folks, is I wanted Robert to sort of give us a little bit of an idea about what it's like to launch something like this. I mean, think about it. Folks, go to your newsstands and look at the magazines that are up there. Robert, as I think I probably said to you once before, when you decided to start a print magazine, a business print magazine, I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
Well, I was really thinking supply and demand. I was thinking passion. This is something I really wanted to do, was to have a magazine that helped small businesses, didn't just feature the news. And also, I thought that I can, of course, this is what pays the bills, I thought I can help the advertising community, those companies who are trying to market to small businesses, because there was really no publication just for the small business market in the New York area.
And you said,
in fact, there are several hundred thousand of them.
And you said, you know, if Blasingame can do this thing on radio, surely I can do this, right?
Well, let's just say it was good to look back and to see that somebody else was able to do this, and somebody else was independent
to carve it out in a highly competitive marketplace. Yeah, that's, somebody asked me, you know, what made me think that I could pull off what I pulled off, an independent syndicator of a small business show, you know, in this marketplace with all the consolidation. I said, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be able to.
Ignorance bliss, I guess.
I guess so. One of the things that you've had to do quite a bit of, and by the way, I think it's important to point out, Robert, that you did have magazine background. You were already in the industry.
A little bit. It was in the custom publishing business. So it was very different. We were owned by a small publicly traded company in the UK. But more importantly, I was surrounded by staff in all the different disciplines. So I never learned about production. I didn't even do much with sales. I just kind of ran the company. I just had the various people reporting into me. So it was very different when I actually had to get into it and not only create the magazine, but sell the ads and the editorial and all that stuff. So just really learned it as I went along. But having a little bit of a background told me a little bit about paper prices and some of the things that are important, but probably not crucial.
Well, but you also saw enough to know that there were a lot of things you didn't know, and you knew what you had to learn, didn't you?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, which is important. I mean, a lot of times people start a new venture, and they don't even know where to look for the problems, look for the challenges, do they? I mean, and the challenges sort of blindside them, and that's dangerous.
It is. I go in, you know, I have a decent amount of experience in a variety of industries, and I started my career as a CPA. But I try to go in pretty humble, thinking, you know what, this is a monster. I don't know how to tame the monster yet, but I'm going to take a very, not a cautious approach, but a very slow and methodical approach to trying to do it. And, you know, of course, we made more than our share of mistakes starting up.
Confucius said, he who knows that he doesn't know is one who knows. And I thought that's a pretty good example. Let's talk about selling. Let's talk about what you've learned, because, you know, I don't think that you had quite a bit of experience in selling as you came into this, and you had to learn to sell on a lot of different levels to pull this off, didn't you?
I did. Selling is key to this business from two perspectives. One, as I mentioned last time, to build our circulation, we did a lot of work with business organizations. And you'd think, well, I'm offering the business organization and their members a free magazine. How hard can this be? Well, you know what? Sometimes giving away something for free, as you know, Jim, is not as easy as you might think. So I had to sell at that level. And, of course, advertising pays the bills, so we needed to sell that as well. And I started out hiring a sales rep, somebody who actually helped launch I believe he helped launch Cranes from a sales perspective 20-some years ago. Cranes is the New York area weekly business journal.
Right.
And,
hold on to that thought, Robert. When we come back, we're going to find out how that salesman did, and we're going to find out what else Robert learned about selling as he launched the New York Enterprise Report, and that's right after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back. Game, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Comes on Sunday. My email gets you ready for the week ahead. But we also have our blog, which you can subscribe to, and it'll come every day. If you can't wait till Sunday to hear from me, you can subscribe to the blog, and you can get something from me every day. Includes at least one article and all four of the interviews that I do on any given day. So I hope you'll check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you want to go straight to the blog, go to jimsblog.biz. Robert Levin is with us. Rob, we were talking about, by the way, he's publisher of the New York Enterprise Report, and you were talking about the salesman that you hired that had been with Cranes. How did that work out?
I actually hired, he was a sales rep, meaning he was representing several different publishers.
I got you. He was a lot of people would recognize that as a factory rep kind of thing.
I guess a similar type of thing where he's representing several people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was real excited. He felt very confident that in the first issue we can sell 7 pages, and that, you know, that really helped with the financial picture. To make a long story short, we ended up selling a third of a page in that first issue.
Wow.
And that absolutely devastated me. And
that hurt your feelings, it hurt your feelings, didn't it, Rob?
It hurt everything, and it certainly hurt the wallet as well. But I never looked at that as, you know, the business idea is not good. I was just really upset, and we went back and forth, and I think the next issue we sold 1 1/3 pages, and After a couple of issues, I realized that this wasn't working, and I was going to have to start selling a lot myself. At that time, I was really focusing more on editorial, and I started selling more and more myself. And before I knew it, I was selling almost all the pages. And the arrangement we had was he was getting a commission on everything.
Right.
It didn't take me too long to terminate that relationship and do all the selling myself. And a couple of interesting things happened. My sales were going up, not really quickly, but somewhat in each issue. We had more and more ad pages. I was spending less time with editorial, which was okay because my managing editor was starting to get really used to the content and my style. And while I was making progress, I also realized that I really needed help as a salesperson. I was doing okay, but I would get in the middle of a sales call and I would get confused. I wouldn't exactly know where to go.
You weren't fully armed, were you?
I wasn't, and what I ended up doing was getting a sales trainer, which was probably one of the smarter moves I made.
Who did you, an individual, or did you use an organization?
I used an individual who's got a franchise from an organization. You're probably familiar with Sandler Sales.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was wondering, if it was Sandler, because we have a couple of Sandler franchisees are members of our brain trust.
Right.
Yeah, they do good work. Especially, one of the things they do a good job of is helping non-salespeople like you were, CPA by training, learn how to sell. They teach dentists how to sell, for example. But anyway, go ahead.
And I started with that earlier this year, and it's made a tremendous impact. among other things, I don't stress as much when I sell, and I realize that, you know what, the most important thing is to get a yes or no as soon as possible, in the process, and not to worry about hearing no,
right,
whether it's on the phone in a cold call or after you've been speaking with somebody for a few rounds.
You learn that you haven't really begun the sales call until somebody does say no.
That's right.
Prior to that, it's just a visit.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you're experiencing, Rob, is classic small business. Two things. Number one, people are buying those pages from you not just because they think it's where they need to be from a marketing standpoint, but they're buying it from you because you're taking the passion on those sales calls. You're the person turning the dials and the knobs in the company, and they're buying directly from the founder and the guy with all the passion. And that's a motivator for people, isn't it, for customers?
That's exactly right. Even with the ad agencies, which are really very much a factory these days.
They're pretty jaded, aren't they?
They are. But it helps. And it's not only the passion that comes through when I'm on the phone with somebody or when I see somebody. It's also the creative solutions. I don't go in and go through the standard advertising sales pitch. I really try to find out a lot about what their issues are, what their challenges are. Come up with a customized solution, and one that actually will help me more. And let me explain what I mean by that. We now have about four or five banks that are advertisers, and one of the things I did was to make the sale more appealing to them, make the magazine more appealing, is I gave them something that we call added value, or some people call it value add. And I gave them 500 copies of the magazine each. Now, they love that because, hey, you know what, instead of giving out a pen, they can give a magazine out.
Absolutely.
To their business clients that shows that they really care about their business. And, of course, for me, it's great because it helps build up my circulation. So by being a little creative, it's not only helped it's only helped the sales process, but it's helped my circulation as well, which is really the toughest part of the publication business.
Well, and the time is going to come when you're not going to be able to go call on everybody. And now that you've been out there, and you've been out there where the rubber meets the road, when you bring on a new salesperson, when you develop a sales organization or you hire contractors in the future, you'll have a lot better perspective on how to do that, won't you?
I'll take that a step further, Jim. I've actually decided that unless somebody really magical comes along, I'm going to hire somebody without that much sales experience and train them on my own, even though that's going to be very painful and
right.
I don't have enough time as is. At least we'll both be on the same sales system, which is...
By higher intelligence and attitude, you can train them for the rest. I completely agree with you. I think that's a good idea. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the salesmanship issue of getting Rob Levin's magazine off the ground. It's called the New York Enterprise Report. We'll do that right after these messages. It's Tintel. Stay with us.
How long has it been?
Welcome back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Rob Levin. Rob is a publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. That's Joe Cocker in the background. And Rob, give us your website, please.
It's www.nyreport.com.
So can we find your magazine online?
Just about all of the articles that are in the print publication are available online. All the archives, they're all there.
Now, your magazine is mailed to subscribers for free, but you typically prefer for the magazine to be mailed in the tri-state area, don't you?
That's what we prefer, because that's what our advertisers are paying.
That's where your advertisers are focused, exactly, and that makes perfect sense. That's your business model, but you're making it available to the world, part of it at least, online, right?
That's right. We have online subscribers, online visitors from all over the world, actually.
Yeah, good for you.
Most of the content really works whether you're in New Zealand or in New Jersey.
Right, exactly. And so folks, check that out at nyreport.com. Okay, we're talking about salesmanship. We're talking about the things that you've learned, Rob, in getting this company off the ground. What about, did you think about investors in the early days?
I did, and I still think about it because one day we hope to expand, and I think we're going to probably take in some outside money for that.
Did you pitch anybody?
No. If anything, earlier this year, I had a couple people come up to me and say that, you know, if you're going to look around for some money, just give me a call. They were really looking at putting up, I would say, small six figures, which at that point just wasn't worth taking in.
Exactly.
We didn't need it that badly.
Yeah. So you think you may have to. What do you think you've learned about salesmanship to be able to go after the investors?
I think it's a little different. I really think that when it comes time for us to raising money, yeah, you have to sell, but it's a very different sell. When you're selling advertising or anything else, you really try to find the pain of the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
For an investor, I think it's less about pain. It's more about exit strategy.
How they're going to make their money back
and feeling very confident in your plan. I think it's a little bit of a different sale because I have raised money before for another business.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the next step in terms of selling for your company? What are you going to be hiring another person?
I'm planning on hiring somebody, a junior person, somebody who I'll train probably in conjunction with our sales trainer,
mm-hmm.
Probably sometime next year. And they're not only going to be selling the advertising, but also we have sponsorships for our events, and also probably to help us out with marketing a little bit. But I don't want them to do too much marketing. You really got to get somebody who's in sales needs to focus on sales.
You've been focusing more on sales than you were originally, and of course, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so much of you. That has taken you away from some of the other disciplines, probably some of the disciplines that you thought at one point in time that you would spend a lot of time on. And so how has that changed the way you think of your own role in the company?
Well, I would say last year I was spending 80% of my time on editorial and maybe some other things and 20% of my time on sales, and that's probably flip-flopped. And if it hadn't flip-flopped, I'd be out of business by now.
Mm-hmm.
I made my first full-time hire probably 4 or 5 months ago, and she has taken a lot of the administrative and production aspects off of my plate.
Mm-hmm.
My managing editor has now been with us for a year, even though she's leaving soon. And she's now a lot more accustomed to what I want to see editorially, so I can spend less time there, but yet maintain quality of the product.
Go ahead.
I've let go of some other things, too. I used to look really carefully at the proofs when they come back, and now I feel a lot more confident that my team could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So some things had to happen, and you know what? I let go of some things, and nothing has suffered. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the challenge that all small businesses have, Rob, isn't it? I mean, we have to decide where to spend our time, and it evolves over the life of the company, doesn't it?
It does, and it's going to continue to happen. Just have to let go of more and more things. And it's interesting. You let go, you become very worried, and 2 months down the road, you're like, I can't believe I was spending all my time doing this.
Exactly.
I didn't hire somebody earlier.
You thought you were so important that nobody else could do it. Hey, Rob, will you come back and let's continue to talk about the development of your new business?
Sure, anytime. Okay.
Give us the website again, please.
nyreport.com.
Thanks. Rob Levin, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Levin, the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. He'll be back another day. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back right after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.